Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Hey, what's up? This is Craig David, and I'm right here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
Yeah, this is the poet Benjamin Zephaniah coming down your radio wire, and you are listening to Sheffield Live on 93.2 FM, my friend.
1-2-1-2, how's it going? This is Shlomo. You're listening to Sheffield Live.
Yo, 1-2, yeah. Little commercial stump, you know?
I couldn't hear you and I couldn't hear you before.
Yeah,
that's better.
Yeah, rewind with that something there, yeah? So, oh, what shall I say? Go on. All right. See it there? Little rerun, yeah? So, Sweet Talking Sport is, you know, the latest chat show that deals with, and stories also, both interviews, drawing an audience that fit today's modern day society, devoted entirely to, discussion of sporting natures, events, you know, whether local or national, you know. Good to go on air, expansive debate analysed by me and also G, who's right here in our studio.
Yes,
you know.
Log on.
This is probably Yorkshire's best talk sports radio chat show you will hear. On point, you know. And you can listen live and direct every Friday from 6 till 7 GM time. Also, you can listen to Sweet Talking Sport from our archives, you know. So if you've missed the start, which was, a little bit up and down, but we're back on point right now. So without further ado, I hope nobody's listening, but, if you are, please keep this platform to yourself. So we're going to jump straight in now. How you doing, G?
Yeah, man, me all right, man. The weather's been good, but it feel good. Everything all right, man. Everything is everything.
Cool. I know from time to time we've kind of dipped into Jamaica's woes of not sort of qualifying for the World Cup. But do you know what? I want to address it. I want to address the elephant or the elephants in the room with JA and go into a little bit deeper really of their kind of like qualification, you know. I mean, like, you know, CV reminded us last week, I think it was, when he said, you know, it was 1998, the last time they actually qualified for the World Cup. And this, it now extends the drought. Like I said, we're going to address the elephant in the room. And I think, in fact, I know there is quite a few combinations going off in there. And G, you also pointed some out as well last week as well. A few areas that I'd like to discuss, like to throw in the mix. And if you've got anything else you can throw in the mix too.
Well, you know, Mr. Jump in when we're ready, you know that. You know that.
Some of the areas talk about planning or cohesiveness. And also going to look into the areas of the CONCACAF, which basically is the Confederation of North Central America and the Caribbean Association of Football. Want to also look into recent managers of the national side also as well, and internal developments. We'll also dive into that, but first about the planning, because what I'm hearing people are saying, and also on the social media platform as well, they're saying that the planning wasn't right. And if you fail to prepare, then to prepare, you must fail.
Of course, that's you know? What it's said.
So, you know, planning is everything. It's up there, isn't it, planning?
What part of the planning we're talking about? Parting from the federation or from the management within
the football?
I think
we're looking at the full caboodle, but we can just chew in the pot.
Yeah, because it's a long time. It's nearly 30 years that they've not come close to qualify. So there's something wrong there, isn't it? Really, I mean, we've had some decent players come out of Jamaica. Me not know them name and stuff like that. And we've had, like I said, we've had English players or whatever that's also played, gone out and played for that for the country team as well, whatever else. So really, what is holding us back? If we can find, if we have a combination of England and Jamaican players, why aren't we progressing any further?
It's a very good point.
Now, like I was saying last week. We know what yard man them can be like. I mean, we are hard people to deal with. We can be very ignorant and stuff like that. And maybe outside out coming is a hard task, I think, for anybody from a foreign country to take on to Jamaican coaching. But it can't be just that alone. It must be something else.
Yeah, I hear that. And, you know, and I think no matter what kind of angle we drop on it today, it won't be out of... It won't be out of sync for sure, you know. It's deep rooted. Cultural plays a part in that.
Yeah.
Ethics plays a part in that. Discipline, you know, the togetherness, the physical chemistry within ranks from tea lady to bootman, kickman.
Everybody's got an opinion.
Coach, you know, players themselves. Because it's like, as a coach, you can put as much emphasis on coaching sessions, on drills, phases of play, free kicks, dead ball situations, when the team's in possession, when they're out of possession, are the substitutes then play a part in that too. And if things aren't right, all you need is one cog not buying into that, and then you've got problems within the ranks.
Correct.
And it's sad to say, really, as well, what's kind of like come out there also as well. You know, like I said, the physical chemistry is a big one. Maybe, you know, there's tension in there with some yard-based players don't want the overseas players in Adam ranks, you know what I mean? Team bonding, which helps to bring that togetherness together, you know, and improve like quality and also spirits also as well, you know. I mean, talking about quality of sticking together, hence probably no or not enough unity as being as one. You know, I think, yeah, again, like we said, deep-rooted, you know. And apparently one of the best chances for JA to qualify for this year's World Cup, because usually it's like 32 nations fighting it out. They increased that to 48, so that meant that, you know, you had 16 more nations taking part in that. And also, it's usually the three nations from the Confederation of North, Central America and Caribbean. But they extended that to six, which meant JA didn't have to lock horns with Canada and Mexico and also the USA. You know, they could have bypassed that, but again, they kind of like felt kind of like short of that mark as well. And not forgetting Costa Rica, because out of the powerhouses from the CONCACAF, like I said, the powerhouses, just remind them, people have just tuned in. You've got US, Canada and Mexico. Costa Rica are the fourth best consistently. So, you know, with them beefing up that from three to six, it meant that JA had a good chance to qualify.
Right, right, right.
But they still couldn't get that right.
Yeah, they still couldn't cross the line. They couldn't make the mark.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where did they actually come within their table? Do you know?
Well, they failed to get out of the playoffs.
So they never make it.
This kind of scraped through, huffed and puffed, and then they lost. They went down 1-0 in the end, which was it shouldn't have really come to that. To be honest with you, you know. And then also you've got, you got to look at the managers as well, because you had, what is it, the last three managers have kind of like taken part to try to get them over the line. You know, if we just go back to 2022, when they had Hamish Hal Grimmison, who is an Icelandic manager. I'm not saying that the Icelandics don't know anything about football, but my point is, after Hamish come in, then you had McLaren, you know, to put his stamp on it, and he lasted, you know, 2024 to 2025.
I mean, that was a shock. I mean, I was surprised. Nothing, no disrespect to old Steve, but he's been around a long time. But I was surprised when they picked him.
McLaren,
I wasn't expecting whatever else, but him came. Like I said, I respect him for what he's done and that. But I was
okay.
When he came out of the pot, I thought, where did he come from, really? Because he's not really been around for a while playing in big international things, as far as I know.
I mean, McLaren was in the back room of Man United. That's before he took over JA.
All right.
I mean, his management career hasn't been too bad, to be honest with you. Middlesbrough. Obviously, he had the national team as well. He went to Holland, and I think it was FC 20 he took over and did a decent job. And also, he had England as well. And he got bombed out of that,
yeah,
because when it was raining, he had the umbrella, so they call him the mimic him in that, and they called him Wally under the brolly. You know what I mean? Rightly or wrongly. You know what I mean?
But
so the man shielding from the rain, I didn't see the problem myself. But
I mean, any time you take over one of them big job like that, and you know you're giving the public or the punters something to talk about, whether it's raining, you stick up your brolly, and if the results aren't going your way, they're gonna make joke.
Well, that's what happened. That's exactly what happened, didn't it? But you know, that's exactly what happened. But anyway, so where do we go with Jamaica?
Why? I think you got to look at the infrastructure as well, which I also mentioned. So you're looking at, like, you know, like over here, you've got like development centres, you've got academies, you've got schools of excellence. You know, you've got like private tuition and stuff where, you know, the promising kids are fast tracked through, you know, to a system like that. That's your development squads and stuff. And I don't think the infrastructure is holding that down.
Not on that level. They won't have the finance as well to hold things down on that kind of level.
You know, I mean, they will have, obviously, they probably have the after school clubs
and things like that. Yeah. But they must have something like
and
that.
And maybe, you know, when during the holidays, summer camps or whatever. Do you know what I mean? I'm sure they will have that. But like you said, you know, the financial clout to get them things going and the coaching strategies and that to be put in place, is it asking too much of that? But you know, they've got to make a start from somewhere. That's why I think when I mentioned them ex-players like Sterling and Ferdinand, maybe Wrighty and stuff, you know, maybe them guys need to get together, or is it beyond them?
Even I've kind of thought that way before, whatever else. Let's go outside the box a little bit here, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Those kind of names, like just mentioned, like Wrighty and Ferdinand and all them things. But them man there, they might have a better chance of getting through to certain things. But we can't just blame the management, really, because the players, obviously, when the players are on the pitch, they're not playing well as a team to progress. So there's something wrong there. So maybe people like them, we're just throwing it out there. Ferdinand, like you said, Wrighty, all the man going out there, because them have a little culture still. Them know how to play ball. So, and they're most probably the guys them that can take a bit of argument as well when it's going off.
Definitely.
But you know, tell them yard people, them steer them like to take things too far at times, but it's not going their way if they think that. But the club, the nation in that respect, does need something for me more solid. And I think really, like we're talking about the management's what they have, I think maybe we need to throw a different mix in there, like you just said yourself, and just see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, you know, without a doubt, they need kind of help in there.
I mean, we're not mentioning them, man. The man, but you know, we are talking about, I don't want to go over there. But, you know what I'm saying? With Reggie, but
on that level, you just don't know, those
kind of things might actually work.
It's true. I mean, when Barnes took over, I can't remember the year, but when Barnes took over the year, he said they had some problems. And when he decided to bomb it in, he said that they held on to his passport for a little while. You know what I mean? So they were even tracking him then, Barnes. And Barnes finished Jamaica and then went straight into Tranmere. And you're just thinking, really? But then Barnes is from that neck of the woods.
That's right.
Where he lives. So,
that's right.
You know, it makes sense, I suppose, on that level. And then the third manager in recent times was Rudolf Speid, and it is the odd man. So you've got an Icelandic, then you have an English man, McLaren, and then you have a yard man.
And things still never go on.
Yeah, so you had kind of like personnel, coaching staff, and then you had, you know, the players, personnel, that changed as well. But the results didn't seem to change. Do you know what I mean? So you think from three recent managers. Like I said, Hamish from, you know, Icelandic, he stepped down from 2022 to 24. He was in the hot seat. Then you had McLaren, 24 to 25, him stepped down too. And then Rudolph stepped in after McLaren, and none of them could get them over the line. So the personnel changed. Players and stuff. I mean, McLaren really leaned on the players from overseas, you know.
And it still never work out.
Still never work out, like we said. You know, there was players like... let me see. Players like... What do you call him now? Revell, Morrison... he couldn't really make much difference, really, which was a kind of like shame. And there was also Damari Gray also as well, went over there, but things didn't really change at all. And also Brentford's Ethan Pinnock took, so players was given chances, you know, but again still couldn't get them over the line. And it's just such a shame, you know what I mean?
Why? I don't know what to say, because back by what you're saying out there, we've had some decent managers. But some of our good players go out there, so why aren't these guys gelling together? But I know the people them can be very vocal as well. Cause I remember reading a story once, I can't remember the player's name, a player did get dropped and somebody must have threatened to shoot the manager that was out there, whatever. So I'm sure it was that yard man as well, whatever else. I mean when you're hearing those kind of things, and you know now they can stay, I mean it's hard to do your job but professionally 100%, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's like I'm saying, with these players them as well, if they're getting vexed and they don't want to gel with the English players and that, and if you're not listening, you're doing things your ways and stuff, but there's a fault, there's a big fault there, because nearly 30 years you cannot cross the line to be in the World Cup. All that time, it should be kind of near enough. I'm not insulting anybody else when I say walk into park, but you should be doing better.
100%.
Better. I mean, football is open up. When you say the World Cup, when it comes to football, it is a World Cup. How many nations you said are involved in it now, from when it all first started to where we are now? And some of these nations, we're just hearing about them and they're coming up and they're doing all right. I mean, look at the African countries then. From when they're coming in the late 80s, 90s, early 90s and whatever. Look at them. You're getting an African team in there literally every session now.
Yeah,
every World
true.
Cup, you're getting one or two African teams in there.
Yeah.
But
from
the Caribbean
from
teams are not getting it.
To 48.
You know what I'm saying?
16 more.
So you've had 30 years and other countries are coming in and just making the mark, whether they make it or not. But the point is, they're in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's big for your country still, just to be there.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. I mean, what a misery. Coming like Kathy Bates in that Stephen King film. Did you see it? Misery.
Yeah.
Rescues her favourite author.
I felt
and holds
it for
him hostage.
What?
You know what I mean? And broke up him leg and all him
Lord,
something there, you know?
My lord. I felt it for him. Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Think to the man did go dead.
You know? Wicked film. I could watch that film again. Over and over again, you know?
They both played it. I mean, Kathy and that was just...
She was...
Oh, my lord.
I mean, we talked about internal developments of, you know, the infrastructure. I mean, obviously we're over here, but when I looked at their infrastructure, obviously through the social media, they had the leagues and stuff what was running there, and I think it was Waterhouse, the same kind of teams what was kicking up the league at the time, you know, and then. the financial situation is always going to come into doubt. Sort of falling short there, you know. And then, you know, they had, like I said, because McLaren, he leaned heavily into the UK link, you know what I mean, to look at players of dual heritage and stuff. And like I said, I mentioned players like Damaru Gray, who was at Birmingham City. Leon Bailey also, he returned to the international scene. He fell out at one thing. I'm not sure whether that was, I think, when they were playing away and was looking to go first class or something, they said, nah, you're just standard and that. Something like that. And he fell out with the Fed. And he said, sure, me not bother with it.
Yeah, because he was one of their top players, weren't he?
Yeah. And then McLaren, when McLaren took over, he must have said, yo, Leon, I knew something now. You know? Come, let me seal it up. Hey! You know?
Oh, now did they do this time?
And, you know, didn't work out. And then McLaren even brought back in his old mate, because Revell Morrison was at Man U when McLaren was there as well. But Revell, my troublesome new team, Revell. I mean, down at Bramall Lane, he probably played about 3 games and that was it. You know, while they had a look at him when they was in the Premier League. But Revell didn't really last 2 minutes. Yeah, he's playing his football in Dubai now. Which is apparently supposed to be doing all right in Dubai. But I mean, you know, I mean, there's a book out, right, called Many Rivers to Cross, and I'm going to read you something, a little preface, which is a little personal introductions to this, right? And this is out of this book called Many Rivers to Cross. I'm not a judge or part of the jury. My justice is making my point with strategic planning to help prepare your mind and soul. Prior reading this book, kick off your shoes, sit back, relax, and listen to the soundtrack Many Rivers to Cross, artist Jimmy Cliff. Then before each chapter, take in a tune. I want to create a quick impact that this tune won't leave your thoughts. They are truly many rivers to cross in life. Within these chapters, which are quite distinctive, there is very little to celebrate good times, as work needs to be done, right? Then it goes on to say, the tune was written back in 1969 by the man himself, following a low revenue while he was touring and crossing the English Channel to Dover, in a mood wondering what else he could do to gain acceptance. Yeah, as an armchair fan, we all know the answer: win them over. So just like the national team, the outcome remains the same: win, win, win. Let me guide you to the first piece of this book, then you're on your own. You can find that on Amazon. Many Rivers to Cross. It's about 90, something about 95 pence. You can kind of like download that. So, yeah, a little kind of like introduction there. And you can sort of like, you know, like I said, you can download that book from Amazon, you know?
Okay. You know? I remember hearing that story about something like that with Jimmy Cliff, mm-hmm. with that thing, because his career when he come over here, and I can't remember if he was in a band before or something. They were doing all right, but he wanted mm-hmm. his solo career, and it did take some time to whatever else, but when that tune come out as well, that just excelled him really into what he became and things mm-hmm. like that,
you know
what I mean? So
yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, when you hear that tune, I don't care. Anytime you hear that tune, you always listen to that tune and what he's saying, because you know that tune was sang from his heart, something what he was going through at times, and thing you listen to it, that's what it's about. Times are hard, you got to fight to get there. Keep on going and stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. Many rivers to cross, but you will swim through it.
True.
Just don't give up.
Definitely, you know. So yeah, if you've just kind of like tuned in, we've just been kind of like dealing with the elephant in our room, you know, about JA's woes and they're failing to kind of like qualify for the World Cup, you know. And this is kind of like deep-rooted to, you know. How did they get out of it, you know? I suppose it's going to be the infrastructure, really. They must be big up that. And I think also as well, maybe, you know, get little satellite clubs, coaching schools in the UK also as well. I mean, that would be a big push. And obviously the JA... they would have to fund that, or you might have some ex-professionals who maybe want to dip their hands in that them pocket. You know, I think that's the quickest way of pushing something over here, is that your ex-pros fund it themselves, you know.
And on top of that, you've got to want it as well, aren't you? I mean, are these players, are the heart really into it to get to the World Cup and make the careers and stuff like that? You know what I mean, it doesn't seem like anybody's pushing. Doesn't seem to be a real team leader within the game who's pushing the players. Say, come on, we can this, we can that. Somebody to motivate the team to get them moving, because something's wrong when you're on the pitch that you're not scoring any goals and getting where you need to be.
I mean, you've said it there, G. I mean, you mentioned it yourself about scoring goals and stuff. You know, I mean, the wheels was wobbling back in 2022. When the team captain, which was the goalkeeper, I think his name was Blake at the time. When the Icelandic man hired him, he was kind of dissing him anyway, really.
What, the captain was dissing the manager?
Yeah, you know, we're just like saying that, you know, they scored one goal in what? In about seven outings, you know? Which one goal in seven international games.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? That's not good at all, that. You know,
yeah, but is that the manager's fault or the players? I mean, once the manager's done his bit, talking, tell them what to do and all that, when you go onto the pitch and you're the one who's kicking the ball, it's down to you.
Mm.
I mean, the manager can see maybe things going off where they may bring in the substitutes and that.
Mm-hmm.
But the players have to take some responsibility, because it's them who's on the pitch, it's them who's kicking the ball, and obviously they're not kicking it the right way.
You know,
something's wrong, and it's got to come down to that in the end, as far as I'm concerned. So when the goal is there, criticising the manager, for what?
You know, I think the attitude stemmed into the women as well, and I don't really normally chat about the women as well, you know, the reggae girls. But back in, what, 2023, not that long ago, reggae girls, they boycott playing matches because they hadn't received their full payment. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's like you get some national teams now, and then from whence you're giving that shirt to play, they will say, all right, let's put certain things behind this. There's always the money, and we're going to get it. We're not going to get it now, but we're still going to represent, you know, and put that shirt on and have a bit of pride. But what did they do? They downed tools and said, listen, we're not about to play until that money reach. So you're right. You know, you've got attitudes in there as well. You know, I mean, you could only probably, I was going to say, you could only probably get that from yard, but you know what I mean? I only because we are chatbot them right now. So, but you can see, you know, I'm sure there might have been a few girls, women within that setup, what said, no, let's represent. But they must have got voted out to say, listen,
We ain't know about that play until money reach.
Well, if they're not playing
at that level though, G, you know what I mean?
If
you know?
The players have said they're not going to play, don't matter when they say if one drop out and nobody goes, then you're short on the team. But like you just said, they're correctly. These girls were not paid before. And now you're there representing your country.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the time you're going to say, me not play, you know, until you give me a little £10 where you owe me. Whatever else. It's not when I say little, I'm not being insulting. They're becoming know some money them more. And I understand when you owe money. But you're playing for your country now. Get through that.
Bend down your tools after. You know, you should be able to work through that.
You've got to get through that, you know, now because it's just your country now you represent. Yeah, it's not just yourself you're letting down.
You know, the spokesperson for... There'll always be a spokesperson within the group. And, you know, part of the hierarchy of the team or something, you'll sit down with your players and say, listen, yeah, okay, we're not going to get no money today or tomorrow or next week, but it's a go come. So, but we need to represent this island, you know what I mean? And put our best foot forward, but it looked like, say, you know, that's not even happening.
And that's it there, because like you just said, they represent this island.
That's right.
You know what I mean? It's not just, when you make the national teams and stuff, it's not just about you now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about your local clubs now. You're talking the country, the island.
So do you think it becomes a case of them against us? What I mean about that, I'm going to break that down. Them is like the players, and then you obviously got the managers, you got the coaches, you got the federation, and the people at the top. So it becomes the players against the people at the top. Do you know what I mean? I mean, they must have got the money. Maybe they were just trying to like try a thing and just all in panic. Instead of like, you know, you've heard that saying, rob Peter to pay Paul. So maybe
correct.
If we hold this back, then we can pay for this. If we kind of delay this, we can pay for that. Do you know what I mean? But they need to have that discussion, that conversation with the players to say, listen, things are kind of tight. This hasn't dropped yet, but you're going to get it. You're going to get it by this date. Maybe them conversations aren't happening, so, you know, people don't trust people after that. You know
what I mean? and that's a valid point, because let's say your argument there is right now, there's nothing worse because the people at the top are still getting money.
And
that causes bad feeling if they're still getting their money and then you want to stop them from getting it. I mean, sometimes I always say, show the example, show the leadership, whatever. So you would cut your money, say, all right, we don't get peer. Mm-hmm. Make sure them get peer, so then play for the country and everything else. But you're not thinking like that.
True.
Let me get peer so me can do my things this weekend and stuff.
It's true.
You know what I mean? I mean, it is hard to work.
Definitely.
And you're not getting your money. It's wrong, you know what I mean? But mm-hmm. when you get to this part, yes, and all, like you said, you're in the national team and you're qualifying for the mm-hmm. World Cup or whatever. If it's a boy, mate, we just roll it down for now, you know, and just do what we have to do.
It's true. Sweet Talking Sport is Friday the 10th and it's 18:38. You know, we've, you know, kind of rinsing out this with Jamaica. Their failings to qualify for another World Cup. I mean, the next World Cup is 2030. And that's, again, it's another joint World Cup, a little bit closer to home this time. It's a joint between Morocco, Portugal and Spain. So, you never know. I mean, I tell you what, if they qualified for that one, I think I probably would go to Spain. It's not too far to go,
is it? It's just where they might go charge with the ticket, them, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I don't think it'd be as extortionate as it is now.
No, I can't see that.
Okay, you know, tomorrow is a Grand Nash. Are you one for having a double?
I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Took a little shot at whatever else, but that's the one thing I used to gamble on, really.
Okay.
I've never gambled on any other sport. It was just for fun, because daddy used to do it, and dad used to say, pick a arse and give me a 10 pence pon the arse or something like that. That's where that started from. But as a regular thing, no.
Mm-hmm.
If you never mentioned it, then I want to know when it was on, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit like you, G, really. I mean, it's not a regular thing for me, but for the big occasions, Grand National,
you know, World Cup and all that kind of stuff, and you know, sweepstakes.
Yeah, once you're on the wildlife, you know, it's all right for food, few pound or whatever else, you know what I mean? So I might have a look when I go up on the Betfred and see where I go on.
Well, I've kind of like, I don't like to really go for the favourites, me, because...
No, meaning I'm like the underdog.
It's no fun.
The better odds, you know what I'm saying?
It's no fun, you know what I mean, you know? And like I said, I'm the odds person as well. If the odds suit, if I get the right odds, I'll have a dabble, do you know what I mean? And I've picked out a couple. Number 10, Spanish Harlem. Trainer kind of like Willie Mullins. Horse is an 8-year-old. Well suited for up for the test. Each way bet, I think, when I looked at that, it was 33-1. I think it might have dropped to... Oh, in fact, yeah, one Spanish Harlem. The other one is KD Bourbon. And one of them is 40-1, which is kind of a little bit... It's kind of like increase. Let me just tell you now, if I can remember. So... Yeah, Spanish Harlem, that's 40-1. Love them odds. And Bourbon is 20-1. There was originally both 33-1, but one's dropped the odds on that. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I've got a bit of interest in that, in them too. And the guy that rode Bourbon, he actually won the Irish Grand National last year. So Willie Mullins is, I think he's kind of like a respectable trainer. That's another thing as well. I tend to look at the trainers as well, because it's like, you know, if you compare, contrast, like to say, a good footballing coach would have a decent seat, would have a decent team, right?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
A decent trainer will
should
have
a decent outcome.
A decent arse, decent camp. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, I've got a bit of interest.
But then you're going to look at the odds, though, ain't it? Because like you just said, they're 40-1. Even though the trainer is saying is a decent trainer, but the arse is at 40-1. That's 40 pound to your one, or something of it. Correct?
Yeah, that's right. 40-1. Them odds.
So you would expect it to be lower then, wouldn't you? If
it's dropped it. It started off at 33-1, and now it's gone to 40-1. The other one, as the odds have increased, do you know what I mean? From 33-1 to 20-1. Do you know what I mean? So there's some interest in Bourbon.
So when you're looking at arses there now, that's like 2-1 and all that. Those are more the arses that are supposed to be up front, isn't it? Am I looking at this
right?
Yeah,
that's true.
And the ones we're talking about now, they're expected to come.
Further down.
So you know what Grand National is like. When the horses jump and horses get in front of one another, them horses at the back, you never know, you know what I mean?
And the first one, there's 30 fences for them to get over. First lap is that they're jumping over 16, and on the second lap they're jumping over 14. 34 runners. Like I said, I mean, them horses are travelling average speed is what, 30 miles an hour.
So what have they done about, because I know before there was all this thing going off about cruelty and stuff with the height of the fences and stuff like that, horses having to be put down and all them things, I know that. So have they altered anything knowledge?
They made changes to the fences over the years. Because horses, and that was
the fun of it, you know what I mean? I mean, I remember as a little boy growing up, and you listen to your father and your uncle them in the room, and that when the horses them and the way they were going off, you think it was them that were riding the horses at times, you know what I mean? When they tumble down, so yeah, I might have a little flutter on that. I'll have a little look at that and see if me can win £40. I'm happy with that, you understand? Mm-hmm. Put a £2 pound and make £80. That's a good meal there for me and the wife, you know?
You know? Yeah.
As quick as you get it, you'll spend it, you understand?
Yeah. I mean, you know, there were some
major changes to the Grand National fences back in 2024, which include filling in the wooden tow boards with foam and rubber to create a softer, more forgiving landing, you know what I mean, on the other side.
Yeah.
You know, so the 11 fences would reduce by 2 inches, and the fourth from last was also modified. These changes followed from the 2013 replacement of the solid wooden cores with flexible plastic. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a good thing.
Definitely. So, you know, let's hope that, you know, all the horses and jockeys and that get round there safely. And then what, pull up, you know, pull up for reasons, you know, yeah. not to be forced. And any excessive whipping, they will be punished. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a hard thing, that when I see them, I whip the horse, they try to get it to run fast. The horse is running as fast as it can go. Whipping is not going to make it run any faster, isn't it? Just inflict pain for no reason. But mm-hmm. I saw them doing it. That's what they do.
Yep, definitely.
Anytime I've seen that jockey, I whip the horse like crazy if he coming in and come on, come on. And the poor beast, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Yep. So, yeah, 1846, Sweet Talking's Bar, I've got a G here in a controlled tower. We had a lengthy discussion here about putting JA back on the map in the World Cup. You know, trying to put the wrong to rights and rights to wrong and all that kind of stuff. And,
yeah,
you know,
addressing
the elephant in the room, you know. But like we said, you know, with the increase from 32 to 48, which is 16 more nations taking place, and also the double the number in the CONCACAF, which is the Confederation of North Central America and the Caribbean Association of Football. So there you go. Fiore is coming back again out of retirement.
So them sir. So them sir.
And he might fight the Russian man. You know? I think this is his fifth time out of retirement or something like that. Guys,
yeah, these people don't understand what retirement, what the word retire means.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm. Will you be watching the fight tomorrow?
What is fight tomorrow?
Yeah, against the Russian.
I mean, nah, do nothing I might do, but I'm not going to rush to see it. Might catch it on the YouTube later on or something like that the next day or two, but it's not high on the agenda.
Okay, well, this is what you have to say. Well, he didn't say that. He said this.
About the 18th or 20th of December, and I was going away with my wife and kids for a holiday. I didn't have any intentions of coming back or a training camp or nothing like that. I just went to get away from the rain, get some sunshine, because I was feeling a little bit down. Mm. And when I got there, a good friend of mine, Sifu Cantu McGuinness, he's got a gym over there, and I phoned him and said, look, can we use the gym while I'm here? He said, yeah, no problem, come down and use the gym. So I was using the gym for a couple of weeks over the Christmas and New Year period, and I felt good, and the vitamin A and the sun, and it just, everything just was amazing. And I thought, you know what, my bones are feeling all right over here in the sunshine. I can do this again. I spoke to Sifu, and he said, yeah, you can train, and I'll tell you if you've got it. He's a straight old man, he's 75 years old, he don't pull any punches. So we went on the pads, we went on the bag, and he said, you've still got it. And did you feel you still had it as well? 100%. I never, ever didn't feel I had it. Never. I was just sick of the boxing game.
Yeah.
I've been in it so long, I needed that time away. And then one thing led to another. I ended up phoning up Spence and phoning up Turkey I'll Shake and all that. And within 10 minutes, I had a fight and a date. They bring me back for a reason.
Yeah.
This is my sixth stadium fight back-to-back now.
Yeah.
Wembley, Tottenham,
yeah.
Saudi, Tottenham.
Yeah.
Who else has ever done that?
No, no one.
No one.
Hundreds of thousands of people actually paying and going through the turnstile.
Exactly. So it's amazing. It's not just good for boxing. It's good for the city. It's good for London. All the people coming in, spending money in restaurants, bars, pubs.
About any form of disrespect.
I mean, you know, he's obviously the favourite. I mean, if you look at, I don't know if you've looked at the
no,
kind of like
no,
the other guy's
no,
record,
don't even know him,
at all,
don't know him.
You know? So, Fury, age 37. And Makhubud Vok, is that how you pronounce it or something? Don't want to disrespect his name, but he is. Aslamabek. Yeah. So this is, yeah, Tottenham tomorrow. Tomorrow evening, probably the Russian guy will start his ring walk about 10 o'clock against the Gypsy King. So, like I said, Fury 37. The Russian guy is 36.
What's his stats like? Have you got anything there?
Yeah, the stats there, they're kind of like, kind of decent, really. I mean, Fury is 134 fights, two losses. Those were to Usyk. One draw, 24 KOs. And the Russian, 21 wins, two losses, same as Fury, and 19 KOs. So it's going to be a little bit stubborn.
Yeah, it sounds like this could be a. The Russian guy's got some decent stats there to challenge for.
Yeah,
really?
I think, you know, I think it's looking for me like a points victory for Fury. The Russian will, he'll have a bit of success. Obviously, Tyson, he'll look to entertain a little bit, maybe. But I think he'll have to dig in a little bit. He's a far superior boxer than the two of them. But the Russian, like I said, he's kind of fresh. Not a top heavyweight boxer. But it should be interesting. I mean, I don't think Tyson will mind going the distance. You know what I mean? A good night's kind of like work. And if
we know he can't.
Yeah.
You know,
if he's looking to make
a
comeback, if he's looking to make a little comeback, then you know your opponent's going to be tailor made, isn't it, for the event? Really, you
well,
know,
that's
what you know?
So they expect to put him down in the first 6-7 rounds, but early part of the thing, but you wouldn't expect it to go too far into the latter part of the fight, really. Especially if he wants to, show that he's coming back, he's got to deal with it quick, hasn't he?
I mean, Islambek, I mean, he had a good scrap with Dave Allen. I think he took him to the distance. I mean, is Dave Allen from Donny or something?
Well, there you go.
So, I think that was his best fight to date, actually, the Russian guy. So, I mean, he'll be saying that he's not just going to come over for the payday.
No, he's
not. Do you
know
what I mean? He's looking to, you know, to leave a little marker because. You know, if he gets, I don't know, argument's sake, if he gets Tyson out of the way, then it'll big up his purse a little bit for his next scrap.
Well, the way I'm seeing this, Tyson's in his way and he's going to be thinking, well, the pressure's not on me to win, really, but if I can go over there and give him a good workout, you never know. And like you said, if he wins, then that's a good major step for him, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And why shouldn't he take it?
Yeah, definitely, if he wins, you know what I mean? 1853, and then we'll just have a little dip into the championship. Sheffield United entertain Hull City tomorrow, looking at like a local derby. Hull City, say again.
Are you going?
Yeah, I'll be there tomorrow. I mean, Hull City, I've got... a few ex-Blade players in their ranks. Matt Burney, playing really well, knows where the net is. Matt Burney is very handy in both boxes, whether he's attacking or defending, good in the air, strong. Not the quickest, but is like what I call one of them workhorse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it'll work in the trenches.
He's there and he does what needs to be done.
Definitely. He'll do the job. You know, not your most gifted technical player, as I've said, but
it's a team.
Yeah. And well, I mean, I'm saying as well that one of these ex-Blades players will be on the score sheet. I mean, also you've got the midfielder, Lundström as well. He probably will be one of the substitutes. I don't think Lundström will start. Egan, capable defender. And also it's been well rumoured that Regan Slater is wanted by Sheffield United for next season.
Okay.
So I would say that either McBurnie, Lundström, Slater, or one of them players what I've mentioned, their name's going to be on the score sheet tomorrow. That would be a good little bet to have also as well. So yeah, a little summary. I mean, yeah, it's been a disappointing season really from United. It's kind of like, didn't really get off to a good start under Seas. It's kind of huffed and puffed and fizzled and that. So the damage has been done already. Wilder's come in, guided the Blades away from relegation. But this game against Hull City, it's going to be a tough watch, to be honest with you. I wouldn't be surprised if Hull City snatched all 3 points.
Yeah.
I can see that happening. Only by the odd goal though, but you know, I can see that happening. Because if Hull need well, they're looking for 3 points, aren't they, to maintain their grip within the playoffs. Because obviously, like, you know, the one and two go up automatically.
They're in a good
and
position,
then
really,
three
aren't they?
And six backlit out for the playoffs. Yeah, so like I said, you know, they're in a good position. You know, United need to finish the season quite strong. You know what I mean?
At least we know United's not getting relegated. So Wilder's come back and done his job, really. He's got them out to that. So,
yeah, 100%.
You know, we'll see
say,
what happens next
yeah,
season.
Good, it's a good point.
Yeah.
Blade 17th, City are 5th in the league. And then Coventry City, high-flying Coventry City at the top of the league. They entertain the Owls, you know, tomorrow.
Okay.
And Coventry looking kind of dangerous, really. They're looking kind of dangerous.
Well, we expect a Coventry win there, don't we?
I expect minimum at least 3. At least, you know.
I was thinking a 2-0 on that one.
Yeah, I think it's going to be minimum 3. Okay. And that could even just be at half time. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Hear that, Captain. All that. You know what I mean? The minimum, you know? So, Wednesday fans, I mean, taking, what, the 6 to 8 mile journey to Coventry. You know, I think while you're there, you might as well just go into West Orchard's shopping centre and buy some crisps. You know what I mean? Because, you know, I get nothing else from City Grown. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's a sweet talking sport. You know, being entertained for the last hour by a man called G.
Yeah, it was all right.
You know?
Yeah, man.
And, CV, you see, did there for next week. You know what I mean? So, nobody worry your foreign mind intention, safe and easy.
Yeah,
you
man.
Know? Yeah. We're out of
so
here.
You think
in fact, Guanji.
No,
sorry.
I was going to say, do you think it's going to be a good turnout tomorrow then?
For who?
United. Chef.
Yeah, because Hull City will bring Woolley. They'll fill their end. There'll be about 3,000 of them.
And
so that will swell up the crowd to about 28,000.
What do you think? What do you think the outcome of that will be?
I say 2-1 or even a 3-2. Do you know what I mean? 2-0. Yeah, I can.
Really?
I can see them dealing with it. You know what I mean?
You know, turn our world on your team and say, come on, boys, let's
yeah,
do
well,
this.
Yeah, well, of course I want them to win, but I'm just being realistic.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I think I'm kind of
I was thinking 2-1 to Hull.
Really.
I'm going to say 2-1
you know
to Hull,
I mean?
You know?
You
so,
know?
Yeah, all right. So we'll go on, then we'll talk about it next week then.
See it there.
All right, you guidance know? People.
Yeah, in a bit, yeah.
más fría que en tu grande la ciudad de Ingal. Me conocía en tu grande.